go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
I'm Ben Bullen, and I have to say, Scott, that was a heck of a head turn you did. It was like when you see a news anchor go from camera A to camera B.
Yeah, I kind of snapped my neck there a little bit when I did that.
It looked good.
Yeah, thank you.
You should do that.
Appreciate that. I was sneaking up on the mic is what I was doing. I was sneaking up on it.
Sped toward it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right. Yeah, that's working. Yeah, that's right. Sped toward this is a good way to put it because we're going to talk about speeding today.
Yeah,
you tease me an awful lot about lead foot, but quite honestly, I mean, I drive kind of quick, but I think my wife drives faster.
Really?
Yeah, I think we've talked about this a few times.
Yeah,
you know, she'll kind of egg me on to pass somebody, and you know, kind of, what are you doing? This isn't a Sunday drive type, you know, talk coming from the passenger seat sometimes. And honestly, I think she's faster than me. I think I may push it a little bit, but not a lot. Certain cases, you know, you pick your times.
Yeah.
When you feel it's safe and you feel that, you know, you're in control. You feel that way anyways.
Right.
And, but I think overall I'm generally a middle of the road, you know, just barely over the speed limit type person.
And most people are that way. Scott, you and I have joked before about how in Atlanta you can tell if someone is elderly or a driving student because they're the only people doing the speed limit.
Or someone passing through town.
Yeah, or someone passing through
town. On their way to Florida.
On their way to Florida,
that's
which
right.
Sometimes can be very interesting if you, you know, a lot of travelers have that suspicion that law enforcement waits for unfamiliar plates.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say anything one way or the other about that, but we are going to talk about speeding. Scott, I do mess with you a little bit about this, but I know you're not actually a speed demon. There's a complete difference between enjoying speed as a factor in driving and speeding all of the time. So what I was hoping we could do is talk a little bit about what speeding is, deleterious effects of it, and also I've got something I think you probably have too, my friend, a little bit of a calculation about how much time speeding does or does not save you.
Yeah, in fact, you know, that's kind of the crux of my whole podcast today here is that, you know, I don't know what angle you're coming at this from, but I think mine is more like, is it worth the time that you spend speeding? Is it worth it?
Yeah.
And you'll find out as we talk about it, just how much it is or isn't worth it in certain situations. And you know what? Honestly, one more time, just before we go on to this, and I'll let you pick it up here.
Sure,
but,
sure.
You know, we've all seen the character that, you know, is darting in and out of traffic, and, you know, you can see him for miles behind you and miles ahead of you.
Oh,
yeah. The
what a jerk.
The usually. One that gets right on your tail, makes, you know, bad decisions.
Where
in
are you going,
cars.
Man?
That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about someone who's, you know, just generally a little bit faster than everybody else on the road. You know, we're not talking about reckless driving here, although that does have a place in this because once you get past a certain limit, you're out of control.
Yeah, once you get past a certain speed, given the context of what you're doing, then just by going that speed, you are a reckless driver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a difference here. This is not something targeted at those that, you know, we all can spot, you know, a mile away or 2 miles away.
Yeah.
This is more like, I don't know, is it really worth everything that you're at the time, is it worth you know, the potential cost that it may cost you? Is it worth it, really? And you've got some stats, I think, for us too, right, that we're going to read later?
Yes, sir. I can do one right now if we're talking about cost.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Speeding is involved. I guess the way to describe it is that it is a factor in approximately 1/3 of all fatal crashes in the United States.
Hmm.
And this translates to a little bit under 900 deaths every month.
900 a month.
Mm-hmm. So it's about 31% of car crashes or vehicle crashes in 2009. And that means that about a little over 10,500 people died from this.
900 a month.
900 a month.
That's it.
Now, you know, statistics can be a little bit weird. Yeah, this is let's see. I think this is from National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration.
Yeah, there's lots of factors that go into this, but I mean, I guess that number that you're reading is where speed was a factor in the wreck. It was
right.
One or more drivers, mm-hmm. if it was more than one vehicle, were above the limit, the
right.
posted limit.
And, you know, that's a really good point because that's exactly what it means. It means we're somehow involved, not necessarily even the cause, but perhaps an aggravating factor.
Sure.
Or an exacerbating factor. Mm-hmm. Here's another thing that is kind of scary. The NHTSA also estimates that the cost of these speed-related crashes tops $40 billion a year.
Wow. That's amazing. That's got to be insurance costs and
mm-hmm. All of it. Yeah.
Court fees, all kinds of things, right?
Road repairs.
Oh, my gosh.
And the really nasty ones.
Yeah, that's huge.
But so with these – now, these, of course, are the terrible facts.
Mm-hmm.
But they are facts. This doesn't mean that you will automatically – of course, if you would automatically get in a car wreck every time you were speeding, I would not have made it to work today.
Yeah, I don't think just about anybody on the road today has ever not found themselves speeding mm-hmm. at some point, whether it's even 1 mile per hour over the limit.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens. I mean, it does. If you're in a 25 zone, you're going 26, 27 miles per hour.
Right.
It happens.
So it can affect a crash in several ways because, of course, it increases the distance you travel.
Mm-hmm.
When you notice that you need to make an emergency stop, an extreme example of this is one of my favorite old statistics from an earlier episode we did. I believe it was – is it Formula One drivers who go 37 feet in the time it takes them to blink?
I think it was IndyCar drivers.
IndyCar.
Yeah, that's right. That's correct.
And so then it increases the distance you need just to decelerate, and then it also – increases the crash impact by the square of the speed. So if you increase your speed from 40 to 60 miles per hour, the energy involved increases by 125%.
Oh boy. 125%? So you're talking about like crumble zones and materials that are meant to break away. They do so, but they don't do so quite as effective as, you know, it would if you were still remaining under the speed limit, the posted speed limit.
Yeah, that's a good
Now, answer. That's different in, you know, if you're traveling 30, you know, 45 and a 35 and something happens, that's a little different than
right.
if you're going 75 on the highway.
Absolutely.
And that bumper, you know, or that front end of your vehicle was designed mm-hmm. to crumble up to 65, you're in trouble.
Yeah, most of those kind of accidents, the more serious ones, of course, happen in places where the speed limit is 55 and up.
Mm-hmm.
And who are our speeders? Well, this is no surprise, of course.
Let me guess.
Guess?
I'm going to guess. I was going to say 18, but I'm going to say 16 to 25.
You're spot on with that starting
age. Is that right?
It's like,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Starting age, 16. So new young drivers, foot to the floor.
And more often male.
Mm.
Younger than 30. So I think I'm going to give that to you. Let's make sure our producer gives like a correct answer sound effect.
Ding, 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 right?
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, under 30, mm-hmm. Typically male, but not exclusively. Mm-hmm. That seems to fit for me. I think I can understand that.
Yeah. A study in California found that, drivers 16 to 19 years old had three times the rate of speeding violations.
Wow.
As people who are 30 and older.
Just so it sounds like inexperience combined with speed is not a good combination.
No. And a lot of people will say you'll hear people who, like Scott or myself, live in a urbanized area say that the problem isn't really speeding. Everybody's speeding. The problem is the variation in speed.
Fantastic, Ben.
Very I know
nice.
That guy.
Good work.
Well, I mean, but that is a legitimate argument, silly voice aside.
True. That's true. That is a legitimate argument, and we've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. Should they raise the limit or the age? Should they, maybe make people have a more stringent driver's ed course where, you know, there's a lot more time behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of little finer points to consider here. Also, you know, how many people are in the vehicle?
Great point.
You know, a lot of times, you know, this is getting back to some of the same points that we made about young drivers earlier you know, there's a lot more that tends to happen in a vehicle with, more than, one or more I'm sorry, two or more passengers. Mm. Maybe it is one or more passengers, I guess. That would be right. And, you know, after a certain time, and whether or not there's speed involved, whether or not there's alcohol involved, of course.
Right.
But yeah, there's all kinds of factors that go into these stats, and you know that's where it kind of gets a little bit tricky. You got to look at all the numbers and try to figure out exactly what they're telling you, because there's so many areas that overlap.
I have a question for you, and this is entirely your opinion. Mm-hmm. Before we go into our grand answer, mm-hmm. right? Do you think that some types of vehicles should have different speed limits on the same roads?
Whoa.
Multi-speed limit driving.
We see this a little bit, I think, with semis, right?
Yes.
So is this what you're talking about? Are you talking about
like
cars
that,
versus
more
pickup
widespread.
Trucks?
Yes.
Oh, you are. You're talking – well, what about – oh, man, this is tough, Ben.
Cars versus large trucks. It's just opinion.
Really? Okay. No. No, I think they should all have the same speed limit.
You know what? I agree, because it is – although I see the arguments about the idea of multi-speed limit roads, there's not a lot of definitive research, and by not a lot, I mean none, about this kind of idea. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that it would promote more confusion than it would anything else.
I think it's a bad idea to have several different groups of vehicles going different speeds on the road, on the same road.
Speed variation, again.
You see this in racing when you find that they have different racing groups out on the course at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You find that the slower drivers who have to give way to the faster drivers sometimes may get confused and not see the faster driver behind them. That causes an accident. It doesn't happen all the time, but there's a level of courtesy that's extended on the racetrack that I don't see that really happening on highways. I don't see people pulling over and allowing the faster vehicle to go by.
No, not in this part of the world.
No, definitely
but,
not.
One thing I would be, I guess, supportive of, or at least more open-minded to, is the idea of having dedicated freight lanes or dedicated commercial truck lanes.
Yeah.
Just like an HOV lane or something, that would possibly address some of the same problems people are trying to address mm-hmm. with the idea of multi-speed limit roads.
Great idea, but I still think it would be abused. I think that somebody would find a way around it.
Are you kidding?
People would use them and then sneak back into the passenger lanes. I just know it would happen. But
mm-hmm.
but still, that's not a bad idea. You know, they're able to somehow get the larger, slower vehicles off to the side. They try that in some places where they say, you know, they're not allowed in the left lane maybe to pass.
Yeah.
You know, on a three-lane road. And it does seem to work. It seems like, okay, well, you can always count on that left lane to be free of large semis.
Mm.
I don't know. It's tough to figure out if that would really work or if that would fly, you know, because they're not going to build another lane in every city for this type of thing to happen.
No, not at all.
And then that kind of does – how do you look at that? Does that take away a lane from standard traffic, or is that adding more freedom because they're all in one lane?
Who knows?
I don't know.
We need a civil engineer.
Yeah, that's going to take quite a study.
Yeah, it's quite a study. Have you ever seen some of the government folks out there with the clicker measuring traffic?
Yes, I have. Yeah, or the strips that you run over on the road with the counters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, same idea.
You know what? Thank you guys for doing such hard work. If one of you is listening to our show, we really appreciate it
mm-hmm.
because without those folks, I would still be stuck in traffic.
Probably. Yeah, because that's part of why the system is the way it is. I know some people say it's a mess, but it's also getting better.
Yeah.
It's definitely getting better because volume is increasing so much.
Yeah, you know what else is a mess? Not having them.
Yes, I agree. yeah, because, you know, if it was still the way it was in, let's say, 1970, 1975, you talk about trouble, because we've really come a long way since then.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Benjamin.
Yeah.
We have to do it at some point in this podcast. We have to confirm that most people do speed at least occasionally.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And that I growing up, I was always told, you know, my family members would swear on a stack of Bibles to you that you could go up to 10 over.
And it was 10 just, over. Oh,
it was
okay.
11, that there was some sort of cushion.
Well, Ben, there's a little bit of truth to that in that, you know, you can push it just a little bit, but you're wise to keep it, you know, pretty darn close to the speed limit. And, you know, there's an article that I read recently. It's called Speeding, A Quick Way to Get More Than You Bargained For. So there you go. That's a warning right there in the title. But, you know, later in this article, after the person goes through a couple of scenarios about speeding and the time you save, et cetera, he breaks down speeding into what he calls zones, zone 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Okay.
And there's zone 1, which is what he says you're probably safe. You're probably safe when you're going about 0 to 4 miles per hour over the speed limit.
Okay.
Okay, so you're just a little bit over the speed limit, you're probably okay. But if you're going between, let's say, 6 and 10 miles per hour over the limit, you better start watching yourself because the police are watching for that. They can. That's a visible difference between you and the rest of traffic.
I see.
You're kind of standing out at that point.
So if they're stationary on the side of the road, they can see you gaining.
Correct, yeah. And even if they're in the traffic, they'll be able to see you advancing quicker than everybody else. So cops are watching you at this point. Okay, that's between 6 and 10, which isn't really that much. I mean, that's not a whole lot over the speed limit, really.
No.
Then you get into what he calls zone 3, which is pretty small. It's 10 to 14 miles per hour over the limit. But at this point, you're going to get pulled over. That's 10 to 14.
If someone sees you.
If someone sees you, and if you're not, you know, adhering to the flow of traffic rule and all that. I mean, we're talking about you're 10 to 14 over everybody else on the road and over the limit. And then there's, you know, the zone above that that goes up to about 20 over. And of course, you're way beyond at that point.
Do not pass go.
You're sticking out like a sore thumb at that point. And, you know, of course, they're going to nab you for going that speed.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these different, you know, risk zones, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in addition to that, if you want to talk about risks, and we talked about, accidents, there's risk to your own personal well-being. You know, your risk of life, I guess, really. There's the fuel cost that we've talked about many, many times. You've got increased fuel consumption. And, you know, we talked about how every 5 miles per hour over is, something like 20% in fuel.
Yes.
Economy bump. So, I'd rather the opposite way.
It's inefficient.
It's inefficient. That's correct. And the other thing is that, there's also the chance of a ticket. So, you know, you may get costs that are associated with that ticket, not just the ticket itself, which is, you know, $150, $200, whatever that would be. You're going to – because tickets are expensive now.
Yeah.
You're also going to be paying court costs. You're going to be paying any other fees that are associated with that, sometimes even a driving course that they, you know, select for you to attend.
And that's not even counting the factors we can't measure, such as the cost of someone having to – take that time off from work.
Oh, correct. Yeah, because you may have loss of work and you may have to pay for a babysitter for your kids for that day. You may have to again, there may be additional court fees or lawyer fees, whatever it happens to be. And there's also you know, the insurance bump. You know, if you get, you know, I think more than two tickets, maybe your insurance goes up typically. And also then there's this kind of like this is an intangible one, but this is more like you feel nervous when you drive. There's a tension. When you drive, because if you have tickets already, you don't want to speed anymore, you know,
right,
because you feel like
absolutely.
The next time it may be the one that pushes you beyond the insurance rate, that you wanted to be. And there's the loss of time, you know, you have to go to court and, you know, all that. So that's what you mentioned also. That's a monetary thing.
So let's talk then about the benefits, if it's worth it. Now,
is
I'm
it
sure
worth
you're
it?
About to tell me, since we've both made the same calculations, I suspect. I'm sure that you and I both know that the rest of this podcast is going to be waxing on about how much time we save when
speed. What a benefit it is to speed, right?
Oh gosh, it's huge. I'm so glad.
Sorry to tell you, Ben. Sorry to tell you.
No, wait, what?
You're not really saving as much time as you think you are.
Balderdash.
No, this is true. This is absolute truth. And it's really, relatively easy to kind of figure this out. But there are three different scenarios that were laid out in that article that I mentioned earlier. And there's one that absolutely, I'll give you all three real quick.
Okay.
Short distance, low speed limit trips. You're talking about in town, very short distance.
Okay.
Makes absolutely no sense to speed at all.
What?
Yeah, there's no point in zipping around the corner to the drugstore and then trying to zip right back here to the office. Just take it easy. You'll get there at approximately the same. You're talking about a matter of a couple of seconds at the most, very most, and that's without any other type of stops involved. And we're talking about like you know, traffic stops, stop signs, just traffic in the parking lots or whatever.
Sure.
You're not going to gain much of anything speeding over short distances. There's just no gain to it at all.
Okay, but what if I'm on the interstate?
If you're on the interstate, so let's say you're talking about like medium distance. Let's say you're going to drive home from work.
Fair enough.
So medium distance, you're on the interstate, so it's a high speed. You're going to save, again, very, very little time. So let's say that you're on the highway and you're going, 65. You're speeding 65 versus 55.
Okay, so I'm 10 over.
You're 10 over. The only – if this is for 10 miles, Ben. 10 miles. Let's say that's average, right? Let's just say you're traveling home from work 10 miles.
Okay.
1 minute, 41 seconds. That's all you're saving.
Well, now – maybe I'm not the best example because, as we know, my time is very valuable.
Mm-hmm. I see. So you're counting that as several hundred dollars in value.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Assuming I don't get in an accident.
No. The thing is that,
1 minute and 41 seconds.
And that's a 10-mile ride at 65 versus 55. And when you factor in fuel costs and here's the other thing, Ben. You know as well as I do that you can't drive 10 miles on the freeway without being held up by other traffic. without passing a single construction zone, without having to pause on the off ramp as you exit the highway, there's the possibility that, when you get out into the northern part of town that, there's going to be a stoplight because, the road reduces in size. There's just all kinds of factors that may slow you down. Road conditions. What if it rains? It may rain and that's going to slow you down as well. So, this 1 minute and 41 seconds that you're saving, honestly, if you look around from, if there was a way to do it, if there was a car exiting the freeway when you were to get on the highway rather, and you knew that it was going to the same exit as you travel with this car every day, you see it every day, you know the person, it's your neighbor, you speed, he doesn't, and by the time you get to the off ramp, there's a good chance that neighbor is going to be somewhere nearby your vehicle as you're exiting.
That's true.
It just works out that way. You get held up in other ways that he might not.
So is that minute and 41 seconds worth the possibility of joining the more than 2 million people injured each year and donating your car to one of the 5.5 million car accidents that
occur? Or your organs. That's right.
Ooh,
yeah, because
you got me.
Yeah,
that's scary.
I gave a chill, didn't I? Because honestly, the statistics when you get above a certain speed on the highways,
they're sobering.
The deaths go way up. And there's one final example here. Which is the long distance high speed limit. Now, this one, Ben, this interesting.
This is different.
This is different. And this is one that, we talked about how the police are watching you after a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
This is when you're talking about going, the example given here was 180 miles. So it's a long trip, right? This
long
is
a
long distance trip. High speed limit, you're on the highway. So we're talking about, 70 mile per hour speed limit, but let's say you're driving at 80. You're going to gain time. You're going to actually save 19.29 minutes, okay?
Almost 20 minutes.
Which sounds great. But then you got to remember that it's not really accurate because, you're not going to go 180 miles without being held up by one of the things we just mentioned. Traffic, construction,
or getting pulled over for speeding.
Exactly. That's a huge one because you get pulled over for speeding, it could take 15 to 20 minutes and there's your time gone right there. Plus, it costs a lot more. There's so many little factors here to look at, but I went ahead and did there are speeding calculators online. Did you know this?
Yes.
So I went ahead and put in my miles driven and my average speed in traffic and the average speed that I normally have versus how much time I would save on the way home. And this is all the way home, so it's not exactly accurate.
Okay.
But it's about 15 miles. That's about how far I live from here.
Okay.
Let's say that the average speed of traffic, let's just say it's 65 and I'm going 80 because I'm in the fast lane.
All right.
Okay. And that's pretty common for here in Atlanta at rush hour.
It definitely happens.
But it does stop and go. That's another thing that we're not factoring in here.
Yeah.
All right. So let's say I'm going 80 versus 65. The time that I save over the entire trip is only about 2.5 minutes.
But again, your time is also very valuable.
Yeah, that's right, Ben. But you know what? Honestly, I'll speed along and then I'll come to a stop up ahead because, the left lane is stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And the people in the passenger side of me here, the slow lanes, I'll see cars that, were entering the freeway when I got on. So it gained me nothing. It's
sort of a
net gain of zero.
Tortoise in the hare example again.
Exactly. It really is. And then, maybe by some creative lane selection, I can get ahead a little bit more, but it's not really going to gain me anything. I'm not going to get home early enough to watch, another program on television or read another chapter in a book or mow the lawn or something like that. We're talking about a very, very small gain in time. So believe it or not, I mean, I know it's tempting to really, you know, put the throttle down when you're out there on the highway, but honestly, it's just not worth it.
If you're speeding because you are driving a high performance vehicle and you want to have some fun with it, that's totally different. If you are speeding because you think you're going to save time, the odds are you're incorrect. And even if you are, the odds are that things will not go according to plan.
Mm-hmm. I bring another personal example in here, Ben, but my wife, if you're not 10 minutes early to something, you're late. So we are always early to things and we're always, you know, well prepared and getting places ahead of time. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It drives her especially crazy if someone walks in late or even on time. On time to her is late.
Weird.
So yeah,
I mean, no offense.
No, it's just frustrating, but there's a very strict time schedule that she follows. And,
yeah.
And I think if more people had even not maybe so strict as that, but more, you know, just a little bit more preparation on the early side of that, you know, that.
Oh, leave early.
Yeah, leave a little bit early. Just prepare yourself a little bit early and plan to get there a few minutes early. It just makes things so much easier for you.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. It honestly does. That's my personal soapbox, you know, that just prepare.
Yeah. Boy Scout motto, again, be prepared. Now, listeners, of course, we hope that you have enjoyed this episode. We have, I think, I don't know, Scott, I think we've been pretty honest about people's tendency to speed.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, figure it out for yourself. Go to one of these online speed calculators.
They're very easy to find.
Very easy. And you input very little information. It's just real, real basic information.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find that the numbers are very, very small and it's not worth it. I mean, everybody speeds just a little bit, but it's not really worth it to speed a lot and often.
Yeah, eventually the statistics will catch up with you.
Exactly.
But also, why don't you look at the other side of the equation, the nice slow Sunday cruise, as I think you said your wife termed it, the windows down, the radio on.
Yeah, that's me sometimes on the weekends when my mind's drifting and I got the whole family in the car and I'm just taking a drive.
So we are not condoning speeding, but we do think it's worth your time to check out your habits, your driving habits on a handy calculator online and see how much time you're actually saving.
Mm-hmm.
The answer might surprise you.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot less than you think.
And while you're on the internet, oh, buddy, write to us on Facebook. Give us a shout on Twitter. You may have heard we tweet. That's the right way to say it.
Something like that.
One time I said we twit, and I think I embarrassed my cousin.
Yeah, I think that's the people who use it, they're twits.
We're twits.
I know, that's us too, though, so I could say that.
Yeah, we're tweeters, like a sound system. But also, let us know what you thought about this episode. Tell us about your experiences with speeding, especially if you have a great story about it. And why not suggest a topic for an upcoming episode? Write to us at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.